with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to the Leisure Man Podcast on NBC Sports. Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff here on the campus of Sacred Heart University. Get ready to chop it up. Perloff, let's get right to the draft talk because there's nothing you and I like more. I'm ready to make a declarative statement.
Wow.
You ready?
Let me hear it.
I'm going to pontificate and then I want you to chop up as we've done in the past. Okay. I think that the Arizona Cardinals should try their best to trade the number one overall pick, shop and get the best offer. And if they get a great offer, not a good offer, but a great offer, where they could build up draft picks now and in the future. Let that go. Let the Kyler Murray dream go and stick with Josh Rosen. Here's why. I think once in a while during the draft, when there is a draft hot property, especially at the quarterback position, you have an opportunity with that first pick to manipulate it or, transition it into multiple picks to help your franchise overall. The Cardinals lost a lot of depth on both sides of the ball. Larry Fitzgerald just about done. Their offensive line's terrible. Their running back's very good, but he can't get anywhere in the offensive line. They lost Honey Badger, Calais Campbell, et cetera, from the defense. Now, Kyler Murray, as hot as he is still a complete unknown whether he'll be a good, bad, or great NFL player. Josh Rosen, I think, is getting undersold because he had a non-threatening rookie year. He never really had even one great game. He was pretty underwhelming his entire year. And every rookie last year had at least one or two or three or more good games. Now, they should surround Josh Rosen, stick with the pick, and not let a possible star quarterback go for a second-round pick and possibly a third-round pick. I think this is an opportunity, not a dilemma for the Cardinals.
Yeah, you have really great points, well thought out. You know, I'm not sure I would do the same thing because, you know, are they going to win with Rosen? What's their record with Rosen next year?
Well, they're not going to win any more games with Kyler Murray. I don't think we know that.
I think you scheme it up with Kyler Murray. Like, your O-line stinks, right? So what do you do when you have a bad O-line? You spread it out. You start running a lot of sort of option-type plays, RPO. Like, you start doing, you know, I think Kyler Murray could make up for a lot of those problems.
I think he'll get hit more often than Josh Rosen because Josh Rosen, I think, is going to learn to get rid of the ball faster as he gets longer into his career. And when they build around him, if they could trade and get more picks around him, they could add to their defense, add to their offense, whatever it may be. I looked at the grades last year, and everyone said the Cardinals stole Rosen. A lot of people had him as the number one passer in the draft. I still don't want a running quarterback on my team. As much as I like Russell Wilson, I don't consider him a running quarterback, especially not anymore. He runs out of necessity in the fourth quarter, but he is a play extender, not a runner. And I think Kyler Murray is similar. So that's one big chip for Kyler Murray. He doesn't run downfield as much as people think. I think he had 100 carries last year for Oklahoma. That's not a ton.
Right, so that's good.
It's a good thing.
You said you don't want a running quarterback, but you don't want Kyler Murray.
I also don't want a 5'10 quarterback. I know height's not a big thing. I don't like using the Russell Wilson anomaly to give a hall pass to all short quarterbacks. And you're going to agree with me on this one. No. If he did the same thing he did last year for the UTEP Miners or for the Northern Iowa team, instead of this big stage, he would never sniff the NFL because of his size.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. I was thinking about something Mike Leach said like 5 years ago. Mike Leach, you know, the Washington State coach, the sort of innovator of the air raid offense, he said the NFL has it all wrong with quarterbacks. And when he said it, because they didn't take his guy Graham Harrell.
How so?
He said they just do not evaluate the right things. He said they should take Graham Harrell. The NFL didn't want Graham Harrell because he was too short. And he actually stunk as a backup. So maybe they were right. But I've come 180 and I think, and I can't believe you're saying this because you're the original Russell Wilson defender. I think that the NFL might have had it all wrong, and I think that they way overrated height when it came to quarterbacks. And I think Kyler Murray's height might not matter.
I do agree with that, but you know, remember last year and the past few years, we did a thing called the bust metric.
Yeah.
Original created by the Leisureman, copyright 2016. Kyler Murray has some big flags. Let's do the bust metric.
Well, yeah,
Kyler
but
Murray.
We never had height as a bust metric. In fact, we always said don't look at height. That's Paul Papp's original.
Right, but. Okay, it's not the biggest deal in the world, and it's not the biggest red flag because he obviously did very well at Oklahoma with very little height. But I think there's other things that just bother me.
Give me the bust metric. Like, what are the bust metric factors for Kyler Murray?
Okay, height a little bit, but not a lot.
Okay.
Because it is. The odds are still against you at 5'10", and even 5'10", and we saw him in person. He's shorter than me. I'm 6 foot. Not the biggest deal in the world.
Interesting. When was that last measure?
Me? Oh, I'm 6 foot. Clean 6.
You seem pretty defensive.
I'm barely
how,
6.
How hard did they push the ruler down on your hair?
I did a thing where I kind of stretch up, and I think I could gain at least a half an inch. Also, the baseball-football thing doesn't matter that much. The Oklahoma quarterback love off Baker Mayfield.
So wait, what are the busts? Yeah, okay. So
that he may not be as good as his stats indicate. And the thing that makes him interesting, like running like Antoine Randall at Indiana, isn't a good thing in the NFL because he is going to take a lot of hits.
Right, but are we changing our mind on all this stuff? I mean, Lamar Jackson went in the first round, had some success.
I would have taken Lamar Jackson in the first round because his biggest, and this I'm not going to compare those two because I have more problems with Lamar. Lamar's single best trait was his running. And I'm not going to say that with Kyler. I just think Kyler Murray is not worth the number one overall pick.
Just give me what are the other buzzwords? Your system, you're saying he benefited off the system in Oklahoma.
Yes, and everyone does.
But the problem is Baker Mayfield just eradicated that entire thing by having a great year in the NFL. So, by the way, remember, like, if Sean McVay, everyone wants to ask Sean McVay, if Baker Mayfield didn't have the season, would we possibly be talking about Kyler Murray here?
No, and so we transfer someone else's success to Kyler Murray, which... You think there's a trend there that, oh, if Baker could do it, they're two different people.
But they did it in the same system, so there is a logic there.
It is.
Like, if Baker could do that, if Baker can have that kind of success, they basically had the identical stats at Oklahoma, maybe it translates. So maybe they run, like, is the NFL running these college spreads? I'm not, like, an X and O guy enough to tell.
Okay,
I think they are, though.
So if, let's say that the Arizona Cardinals had the 2 pick in the draft. Are they going to draft the next best quarterback up to replace Josh Rosen?
That would be Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. No way. He's not the mobile guy they would want.
Right, but I don't know. I just think that...
No, I certainly say they don't want a quarterback, but honestly, when you look at... Okay, say Baker was there. Would you take... Say it was Baker.
No.
Yeah.
Even with what I know now.
Same reasoning?
Just because I don't think you should try not to fall in love on draft day. The Atlanta Falcons fell in love with Michael Vick, and as exciting as he was...
The dude made 3 Pro Bowls for the Falcons. He got in the playoffs. He was
based
great.
Off running for the most part.
Yeah, but at least he transformed the franchise. He made them super exciting. They made the playoffs all the time. They were nothing before he got there.
I want a slow, statuesque quarterback. I
know.
I'm a Byron Leftwich guy. I don't want to move in at all.
I totally get you, but it's just a different NFL. I think, okay, I'm going to just say, I think you got to update with the times, man.
I'm old school?
You're doing way too old school. Like, and I'm right with you, by the way. I don't understand because I don't see any mobile quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl just like you don't, except Russell.
But like I look at a big quarterback like Carson Wentz, who is very mobile and almost he takes too many hits.
He's a moron for running out there. I'll tell that to Carson in his face. Stop running all the time.
So which is better then, to be like a Carson Wentz, who's a big target that runs, or Kyler Murray, a little wee target that runs?
Well, yeah, but if you're little and wee, think about this.
Redundant.
You're going to avoid those big... You're thinking about avoiding those big hits all the time.
I think you're right.
And Carson and Cam Newton has the same thing. They don't care. They just run out there, and they end up getting like the shoulder injuries and stuff because they don't care.
And that's what Andrew Luck used to do and no longer does.
So I think we figured it out. The ones you got to worry about are these gigantic 6'4", 240-pound guys. You don't have to worry about the little guys. They're fine.
Russell gets hit a lot, but never gets hit hard. Russell Wilson's never missed a game.
Yeah. Drew Brees hasn't been hurt since his shoulder.
No, and that was not a hit injury. That was just a tear.
Yeah, so maybe...
So maybe if I turn myself around on this.
Maybe if you really are worried about quarterbacks, you do not... Don't take a 6'4 Andrew Luck type.
Oh.
He's got nothing. He's going to get demolished out there.
You do have a point. I don't have anything really against Kyler Murray as much as I have against the Cardinals falling in love with Kyler
Murray. I hear what you say. Like, you want to give... And you still believe in Rosen, which makes perfect sense. I have no idea how good Josh Rosen is.
I love Rosen's swagger. Yeah. I don't know if he's, you know, a great quarterback or not, but...
His highlights from last year were pretty bad.
There weren't any. I went through his 16 games, and they're all like 14 for 29, no touchdowns and a pick. It was like 117 yards.
He had one nice game against the Packers where he had a couple moments, but that kind of worries me. Everyone's like, Josh Rosen's greatest hire, but they have a year of awful tape on Josh Rosen, and hey, that's bad luck. You got drafted by the Cardinals. People care about that.
By the way, my hot thing this year is to draft 2 tight ends. I always go back to when it was that one draft when the didn't work out so well for one of them, but the one draft where the New England Patriots drafted Gronkowski in round 2 and Aaron Hernandez in round 4.
Yeah.
Now, if you take away the two murders, Aaron Hernandez was a fantastic draft pick. I mean, if you had to remove those. But
So take out the murders.
Take out the murders. If you could ignore that and just stick with what Aaron Hernandez did on the field. I love the two-star tight end idea. And, you know, Iowa's got two-star tight ends.
Yeah. So
big tight end draft. I think there's going to be three in the first round.
So the tight ends are interesting because everybody did it. After that, tight ends started going higher. But now you don't hear about tight ends. So this TJ Hockenson kid, are you really going to take him in number 10 overall? Are you that sure? And why does Iowa have every great tight end that ever? Why is George Kittle coming out of it? Why are these guys coming out of Iowa? Like, if you're the best tight end, why are you going to Iowa? Explain this.
And by the way, Iowa, I don't know if you remember back in the Hayden Fridays, the tight end used to stand in this upright motion.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand up and you can describe it. Kind of like this.
Kind of like a soldier.
Yeah, kind of like standing upright at the waist with his hands on his hips back in the Hayden Fry football days. The tight end was not in a three-point stance on passing plays and would stand up with his hands on his hips, and I loved it.
There hasn't been a good tight end draft in a while. We have not hasn't been juicy. Hayden Hurst, I think, was the first one taken, and he got hurt. The guy with the Chargers,
Hunter Henry,
got hurt. So yeah, we have
Dallas Goedert is really, really good, nice player for your. See, but that's an example of a
guy, but yeah.
But that's an example of a team that I love is the Philadelphia Eagles with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and Jay Ajayi at running back. I'm fine with that thing. I don't fullbacks, you know, are okay, but I'd rather have two tough to deal with tight ends. To go with one good running back.
Yeah, it's a good system.
What do you got for me today?
All right. Combine.
Okay.
You watch some, right? 40, I'm just gonna ask you a simple question. Is the 40 overrated, properly rated, or underrated? Or none of the above?
Overrated because it's the easiest for the casual sports fan to consume. All of us know that what's 40? And we judge a person's athletic ability based off 1/10 of 1 second.
Yeah.
And I think over the past 25, 30 years, that one exercise, that one drill has been drilled into our heads as the end-all, be-all of all these things. We don't know what the teams are looking at.
Yeah.
Like if someone says, hey, what about his shuttle drill time? Yeah, our heads are like Garth from Wayne's World about to explode.
Right. There's seven tests, and the only one they put on TV is the 40. So like they don't show bench press because it's too boring. So we think the 40 is everything. It's consumable. We have a reference. You know, if a guy runs a 4.3, we know another guy who ran a 4.3. If you give me a shuttle time, I'm like, I have no idea what that means.
Right. And, you know, I think that – I've said this a few times. I think that speed is we say every year it's no big deal and it's overrated, but then we watch these mock drafts that just come out.
Yeah.
And Montez Sweat from Mississippi State, the edge rusher, is shooting up the draft boards based purely on his speed.
Yeah, John Ross went number 9 overall to the Bengals, the Washington receiver.
So we're not – if the teams don't stop overrating it, then why should we?
You know, our credit, I heard this. Kuiper had Sweat number 5 overall, I believe, before he ran.
Mel, nice.
And, you know, Sweat had like – 12 sacks last year where Nick Bosa never got anywhere near that. So he was productive, but the word, so he might go, I'm hearing what I said.
Your people?
I'm hearing in the draft podcast I listen to that he's going to be top 5. Sweat's a big deal, but that 4-4-1 I think is why. You know who's crazy about this? We should talk to him later in the draft period. Josh Norris, he has analytics.
Our guy at NBC.
Yeah. And the NBC Roto-World draft expert has metrics up the wazoo. And he's like, I heard him on some outlet talking about how the top like 6 20-yard shuttle scores of the top last 8 years have all been Pro Bowl left tackles or something.
Ooh.
So he says that there's all these secret codes in the numbers.
Well, I think that makes sense players play in, especially linemen.
Yeah.
And even wide receivers, they play in a space of about 8 yards by 8 yards. And on any given play, like J.J. Watt, he's relentless, right?
Yeah.
Where he starts on a play and where he ends a play is about 6 yards in any direction on any given day. He doesn't run 40 yards. And if he ever runs 40 yards, he's chasing a running back that's already gone. Yeah.
You might measure the first 10 of his 40 or something and get more out of that.
Right. And so, again, I think that these cone drill, shuttle drills that we don't really understand, that the experts probably put a lot more weight in.
Absolutely. But the other thing is I've heard from people that the teams already have their board set and they don't really care what's happening at the combine.
But I
can totally believe that too.
I don't believe
so you think that they are affected by the 40.
Well, John Ross, he was out of Washington, right? He blew away the combine 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we went down to that draft down in Philly and we saw him get drafted. He went higher than a lot of people thought. There was a run on wide receivers, remember, it was like Corey Davis.
And, yeah, Mike Williams out of Clemson is awesome. But yeah.
And when John Ross got picked, we were standing there. You're 6'4", I'm 6 foot. John Ross walks by, and he's about 5'8" at best, and he's also small, like a small person where he wasn't even thick. He's not like Natron Means 5'8". He's like a wee 5'8". I was like, that guy's going to play professional football at that size? And so far, he really hasn't.
No, that's a classic example. I mean, he's the poster. He's the Mike Mamula of our generation. Remember Mike Mamula, the Boston College?
The wide receiver version of Mike Mamula.
Yeah, Mike Mamula had the greatest combine ever and went like number 12 to the Eagles or something. And he was terrible. So people, you're right. You know, NFL teams say they don't look at these measurables, but the workout wonders still exist. And by the way, like the combine, Daniel Jeremiah sat in for Mac this year. It's just an excuse to talk about football on TV. The drill is like, we're not, you cannot tell me the average fan is garnering anything by watching a linebacker, Devin White, run a fast 40.
No, but it's the closest thing to actual football you have. I mean, now you have the Alliance, the Spring Football League, and that fills a void too. But the combine, there's a lot of recognizable names because anyone who's at the combine was pretty damn good in college, and you recognize maybe 10% of the names really well.
Well, no, actually more because they only show the guys that were on big schools and skill positions. So you recognize, like, there's all these, then they'll show, like, Joe Blow run a 40. Like, well, by the way, did you see there's one stereotype busted guy, Andy Isabella, who we've talked
about. Andy Isabella out of UMass.
Yeah, ran, I think, a 4.31. But the funny thing is, I heard this debate, like, do you still, like, he's 5'8 and a half, so do you consider him a slot receiver? Probably, but if you're a 4.31, shouldn't you be on the outside, Marquise Goodwin?
But you're not tall enough to play outside.
But you're a legitimate speedster. It's so hard to break that stereotype of the wide receiver. Like, Andy Isabella is causing fits for draft experts.
I can't wait for Belichick to pick him up in round six.
Oh, my God. That's another thing. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think he's actually going to go. I think he's a second-round prospect on ESPN's mock draft. So he was productive at UMass, whatever the heck that means.
All right, let's change up a little bit. A lot of football there. But you had a big night out last week. You and your brothers. You have two brothers.
Yeah.
You took Pops out. You're from Philly. Your dad's a Philly sports fan of all the teams there. And you got tickets to the Philadelphia 76ers Golden State Warriors game, which, again, anytime the Warriors come into town, that's pretty much the toughest ticket in sports. And how'd you get tickets?
Yeah.
And then I have a follow-up question on the seating arrangement.
Okay. These are great questions. Went to, I'm not going to say the app.
Okay.
But
we don't have to give them free pub.
It was a broker. And it was outrageous. The service cost was outrageous. The tickets were outrageous.
Total cost for four tickets. If you don't mind.
Two tickets. Because my brother had already got my dad two tickets. So I had to buy two more.
Okay. Do you mind asking?
I'm going to.
Give me an over.
Well, you guess. Take a quick guess.
You bought two tickets.
Two tickets, yeah.
And were they high up or down low?
High up.
$450.
You're so close. It's like $420.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, 40% of it was service fee.
I got to say, again, it depends how much dough you got, but to see the Warriors in person.
Yeah. When we were kids, you couldn't do that. Like, if a game was sold out, like, it was.
You just didn't go.
It was done. But I had this thought. I'm sitting there in the top row of the arena, and I was seeing all these families around. I'm like, where does everyone gain the money to buy these tickets? I felt a little bad. I felt like the Sixers were fleecing people. Then you buy $100 worth of food. And I heard this argument. You know, they take out all the water fountains, so you have to buy a $6 water.
Yeah.
It feels different than when I was a kid.
But do the Sixers or any team, they sell the tickets on the open market to start the season, and people sell them to ticket brokers?
Yes, yes.
That's how it happens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Cubs got in trouble years ago because the Cubs would take tickets and sell them to a ticket broker, which is legal for a broker to buy them. But they found out that the Cubs owned a piece of the ticket broker. So they were just paying Peter to pay, you know, Peter DePaul money, one pocket to another. They were just upcharging their tickets by sending them to another place.
Absolutely. I just was concerned by the overall price to families for games. When you were a kid, we've talked about this. Like, I think you had some connections and you got to go to a few games.
No, not really.
Like, weren't you guys connected to Butkus?
Well, before I was old enough to go to games, my dad went to high school and grade school with Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
And he used to get free tickets from Butkus to go to Bears games. I was not involved in that. I know.
Oh, okay.
I know I went, I know I'm very sure that I went to a game when I was two, which was Dick Butkus's final season. I may have been three. Of course, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But I did attend Og Bears home game where Butkus left tickets. After that, it was just every man for himself.
So did you not get to go to a lot of Bears games? I'll tell you, so the company my dad worked for had season tickets to the Eagles. So we got in on those tickets. That everyone there is a corporate ticket. That's how these work. Like, somebody's got a corporation, someone's a salesman.
Right.
And we were in the top row of the Eagles. So I got to go to a ton of Eagles games growing up. It's pricey.
I remember growing up, because we didn't have a lot of disposable cash, that I think we maybe went to one Bears game a year, and that was the occasion. You went to one.
Okay, so you did one a year.
They were still tough tickets to get, because the Soldier Field back then was not the biggest place. I think it held back when I was a kid, 62,000 or something like that.
So, oh, really? I thought Soldier Field was massive.
No, yeah. No. And it is much bigger since they landed that spaceship on top. But no, it was a tough ticket to get. My best ticket story is when I was 1984, dating myself. It was the year Walter Payton was going for the rushing record. I've told you this many times. I asked my grandmother would buy me something for my birthday every year, or my uncle, and it was always sports related because sports were the biggest thing in my life. And I tried to plan out based on when this. I used math. I based on Walter Payton's rushing average per game.
No way! So you actually sat there preseason?
Oh yeah.
That's brilliant.
Remember, because he in the 84 preseason, yeah. He was 600 plus yards away, and Franco Harris was 300 plus yards away from Jim Brown. Franco Harris gets cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers, go to Seattle. Jed's a millionaire. And I did the math, and I figured it out that it was going to be the Dallas Cowboys game based on the odds, I think it was.
Were you like studying, like, this team has a 4-3 run heavy defense? Were you breaking it down?
I was like, Leroy Selman's got an ankle injury. He's out for the Tampa Bay Bucs. He's going to plow through the Buccaneers. Sweetness. So I asked my grandmother. She goes, what do you want for your birthday? And my birthday's in late September. I go, all I want is Bears tickets. And, you know, my grandmother didn't have a ton of dough. And she got me Bears tickets. I can remember to this day opening up the envelope with Bears on it. And I see two tickets, and I'm like, awesome. And I asked for Dallas Cowboys for two reasons. Dallas didn't come to Chicago that often. And seeing Dallas in person was akin to the Warriors coming to town.
Oh, Dallas was huge. That was our biggest game, too. Yeah.
And I opened up the thing, and my grandmother made a mistake, and she got me Bears-Saints tickets. And when the Saints stuck. And I can remember looking at them. And even being a pretty young man, I was, 14 years old or something, I remember thinking, how do I hide my disappointment from my grandmother? And I looked at her, I go, this is awesome, thank you. And she goes, those are the right, that's what I wanted. And I think my dopey sister goes, I thought you wanted Cowboys tickets. I go, no, any game's great. And I was like, I remember walking up to my room, just feeling bad because my grandmother was the coolest.
Yeah.
She probably spent 1/3 of her life savings on those tickets for me. The week of the Cowboys game, Walter Payton has 105 rushing yards at halftime. Uh-huh. He's crushing the Cowboys. At halftime, he needed about 75 yards in the second half to get the record. And I remember looking because he was crushing the Cowboys. He ran for 20 yards in the second half.
Nice.
They smoked the Cowboys. Remember, this is when the Bears were getting good. And at the end of the game, I'm like, don't break any runs. Don't. And this is the first time I ever rooted for Walter Payton not to break a run. And at the end of the game, he was 66 yards away, and the next week was the Saints game at home, and it was...
What quarter did he get it in, you remember?
First play, second half. He at the end of the first half, he had 61 yards rushing, 62. He needed 66 that day. And first or second play, I think it was second play of the second half, they gave him a toss left, and he ran for like 7 yards and broke the record.
Well, you know what's funny about the Saints thing, though? You might be excited because, like, well, at least I'm going to get to see a win.
Yes.
You know, if it's Walter Payton against the Saints, he might be stiff-arming guys going down the field. You might see some good football from a Bears standpoint, but you really were disappointed. See, as an Eagles fan, like, we didn't get a lot of wins, so I would have been psyched for
I was only disappointed because I thought I was going to miss the game where Walter broke the rushing record.
Yeah, it was a record.
Do you remember the game when you were a kid where someone gave you tickets and you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I never got
like Mike Schmidt or...
Like, we never got World Series tickets to Mike Schmidt. Like, other kids did, and I was like, how did you pull off?
Because you lived in a pretty well-off neighborhood, is that fair to say?
But no, that's not how you got Phillies tickets. Like, I'm telling you, the Phillies crowd was not from well-off neighborhood. Like, everybody in South Philadelphia seemed to know somebody. I don't know how. Like, it was not a suburban crowd at the Phillies stadium.
I'll tell you this one. We had this kid in my school, and his name was Kevin. I wish I could remember his last name. He was a year younger than me. He was a real nice kid. And I went to Marion Catholic High School. And I remember one day I said, hey, this Sunday we're going to the Bears game. And he goes, oh, yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. I was a sophomore. He goes, well, I'll be working. I go, what do you mean working? He goes, I'm a ball boy for the Bears on Sundays. So and the idea of being a ball boy when I was 14 years old for the Bears, I don't think there's anything on earth that could have beat that. I mean, I would have cut off a toe probably literally.
Yeah.
And this kid, Kevin, I can't remember his last name. His dad was a lawyer or something for the Bears, and he got to be a ball boy for home games.
The
level of jealousy in my high school was through the roof.
It's like our buddy Chris Mannix, who was the Celtics.
Celtic ball boy.
Did you guys have families who had tickets? Like, that's a big deal. Like,
a few,
The Eagles, like everyone talks about, where is your family seats? Like, especially in South Philadelphia, where the stadium is, that was like everything. But back to the game one, the seating dilemma. So I have two at the top of the arena.
Okay.
My dad also went on a broker and got them 16 rows behind the action.
Right there.
Right there. So him and my brother start the first half there. Me and my other brother up top.
You swapped at halftime?
We swapped at halftime, but I was the bigger gentleman, and I said, I'll stay up top. I've been to plenty of games.
Look at you.
Yeah, and you know why? We had just just been courtside at that. Did you go to that Clippers-Warriors game with us earlier?
I didn't.
Yeah, anyway, I'd just been courtside at a game. I'd just seen the Warriors up close. I work in sports, so I had to be the bigger
Do you
man.
Think you did that because you're the sports guy and you get to go to a lot of stuff?
I really do.
Yeah, which is cool.
Not only that, also, I knew I was going to leave early because I had to drive back to New York, and I knew the Warriors were going to win at the end of the game, and they did. But
that's pretty nice. All right, last topic.
Yeah, I want to hear. There's a lot going on with you, buddy. I want to... I'm getting like, can I just say...
Let me get the sponsor in real quick. As always, we're brought to you by Guinness. It's Guinness season. It's March. You know, we've talked to you before. Don't wait till St. Patrick's Day to get some Guinness. Get ready for St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is like the Guinness New Year's Eve. You know, you go out and celebrate. People who are not used to Guinness try it out for the first time and become lifelong fans. But don't just be that guy. Be the guy who drinks it before and after. So get some Guinness, bring it home. And remember, March 18th is the coolest day to drink Guinness. March 17th is cool. March 18th is the coolest.
So I think this year is St. Patrick's Day. I expect my friend Paul Papps here to celebrate extra hard. Because I got to tell you, you've been grinding the last
A little
week.
Grinding.
You're grinding, dude. Like, and let's talk about why. And I want to hear some of the issues because you're great at, like, I love these like little issues that you attack. And because you enjoy producing issues.
Yes.
Break it down.
My family and I bought a new house and we're moving this Saturday. And we closed on the house 2 weeks ago. So we've owned the house, will have owned the house for 3 weeks before we take possession of this. I've moved a lot of times in my life and I realize this is the move to do. Don't close on a house and move that day. It's too much pressure.
That's a lot of stress.
It's a lot of stress. So we have time to maybe paint a few rooms, do a few things. Here's a Leisureman tip. We bought the house and the first thing I did was set up DirecTV.
Oh, yeah.
And set up the Wi-Fi to be installed before we move in. So now on move-in date, you want to take a break, put a game on, watch a flick, put something out for the kids to do. You don't want to be an empty, quiet house. Not that everything's about technical stuff and electric, but the DirecTV's on and the Wi-Fi's on before we move in.
That's huge. Especially with kids and Wi-Fi.
Now, here's the negative thing. I've moved a lot of times in my life. My mother moved a bunch of times. I have traveled, lived in different places. I believe I can move everything myself.
Yeah, you're a fool.
I am a fool.
What are you doing? And I've been trying to tell you this for a month. What are you doing?
It's not that I'm cheap in any way, but I don't like paying for stuff that I could do myself. And I, you know, like if I need my carburetor fixed, I'm not touching that. I'm getting Ted to fix my carburetor.
Yeah, because you'll just screw it up.
Right. But I'm physically in decent shape enough, barely, that I could move my own couch with just...
You're not. That's the thing. You're just not.
You're right. You're factually
right. I was trying to tell you, that is the best money you could ever spend to have a mover do all that stuff.
And this might be my last move.
Yeah, and you haven't been utterly complaining, but I know you well enough to know...
Well, you've been seeing me complain like, oh, my knee, oh, my finger.
Yes, every day. Oh, I had to do this thing last night. No, you didn't have to. You chose not to pay because you overestimate your own physical moving abilities. You're not 23 in a four-floor walk-up in New York, dude. It's different.
But I'm down to like 8 items that haven't been moved yet. 2 beds, 2 couches, 2 recliners, a big ottoman. I mean big, like 8x8, 6 or something. And a dresser. And the dresser is the hammer. It's heavy as hell. I'm down to like 8 things.
Yeah, but you're going to end up paying for the mover, right?
I am. But
so there's all that upfront cost for the mover. So you wouldn't even have to spend that much more money.
But I want that moment where the 2 movers come in, the big strong guys with the belts on, go, where is everything? I did most of it myself. Yeah. You guys just finish up my work for me.
This is just like, this is a microcosm of all the flaws in your personality or in this little.
Overconfidence?
It's not overconfidence. It's just like. I can't even describe it. The fact that you actually do want to impress these 2 mover guys, but the way that you approach everything in the world is sort of like summarized by this.
It is.
Like you just want to like, you don't want to take the simple way. You want to be like, well, let's see, what can we do here? What can we make of this?
Like as a producer, right?
Yeah, like what can we make of this whole project?
You want to hear something really dumb? I was moving a big screen TV. I think it's a 55-inch Vizio, right?
Yeah.
And I take it down, which is, it really wasn't that heavy. Yeah. I could get it. Get it in the back of.
But it's 50. It's wide.
It's pretty wide. Now, there's nothing to wrap it in. You can't put like, put in a box. You can't really wrap it up in, padding. It's a TV. You got to really. I don't have the stuff to wrap it in. There's not anything. I guess there's something out there if I did any research. But so I put it in the back of my Land Cruiser, and I'm driving with my left hand and holding it upright, jammed between two bags of pellets from my Traeger grill. And it's only a 2 mile drive to the new house.
Actually, that sounds pretty solid.
It was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And I made it, and it's starting to slip, and I'm holding it. And I got there, and I was so proud of myself because I don't have a lot of athletic accomplishments. This is like number three all time.
Holding the 55 inch between two bag of pellets?
Yeah. I mean, I wish you were there to see it. There's no one there to celebrate.
So when this is all said and done, I mean, what is a Leisureman tip out of this? Pay for moving or move it yourself? And be honest. What could you, if you could go back in time, would you have paid to have more of this stuff moved?
No, because A, I need the exercise. Two, I like the challenge.
Exercise. That's like, it's not good for your back to be moving gigantic things.
Yeah, you're probably right. Here's the one last thing. What's your policy on helping a friend move? Are you retired?
My policy on helping a friend move is grabbing him by the shirt collar and saying, pay the
like what you've done for the past 8 minutes?
You just saw my policy. It's called an intervention, Paul. It's called an intervention to hire movers.
I got a buddy named Paul Dudek, and he's a good dude.
Paul
and
Dudek.
Dudek's a good dude. And he goes, hey, you need help moving? But he did it once. I said, nah, man, I got it, which is the proper response when a bro asks you for help moving. But then he's emailed me two more times. Hey, dude. Just so you know, I got free time in the afternoon. I'm close by if you want to help move. He's offered three times. I'm thinking about taking him up on it for the last few things.
What's his angle here? Is he just that nice a guy? Or does he want some beer?
No, dude.
He wants some Guinness. Be honest.
Maybe I would give him some Guinness to help move. But I'm
thinking
about...
What kind of friend offers to help another friend move more than once? What kind of psycho is Paul Dudek?
I once helped this guy move in New York City. This guy's name is Chip Skovic. Chip Skovic is top notch. I was a roommate with his buddy.
Are these real names?
Chip Skovic, yeah. So Chippy Dip, and I was best friends with his brother, Mike Skovic. And so he just moves to New York City from, I think, like Dayton, Ohio, and he's moving downtown, and you know the downtown of New York. And he goes, hey, I'm moving into, I got a nice apartment in Chinatown. I'm like, good for you.
Sounds good.
Cool neighborhood. We get to his place. He's got one of those little 14-foot Ryder trucks. Not a lot in it. And we get to it. It's a fifth-floor walk-up. That means five sets of steps all the way to a small apartment. He didn't have a lot of stuff, but we were laughing and carrying stuff upstairs. And like half the stuff we brought, we dropped. I mean, it was just a disaster.
Yeah, that's exactly what moving in your 20s is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
But for us, not so much.
I love one last thing is driving around New York. Once in a while, you'll see somebody moving from apartment to apartment, and they've got like a Nissan Sentra with a box spring and a mattress on top, and three buddies with arms out the windows trying to hold it on the roof.
Yeah. I've had some of the most disastrous moves. I lived in walk-ups for almost a decade. Like I didn't have an elevator until I was in my 30s.
I'm going to give you the official last. I will help you move if you need it. I don't know if you're going to take
it. I won't accept your help. I won't accept Paul Dudek's.
Chip Skovic?
Chip Skovic or Mike Skovic.
They're top notch.
How can a guy named Mike Skovic not be a good dude? Mike Skovic is...
Skovic's the best.
Yeah, like who doesn't want to grab a beer with Skovic? You'd have to Skovic. Be crazy not to do that.
Thanks for listening to Leisureman Podcast on NBC Sports. Download, subscribe, give it to your friends, give it to people you don't like. That's it. We're done.